This is tape number TL-517.
Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve.
Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Our studies today begin with the 13th verse. From the 13th verse through to the 27th verse, we have a record of the great revenue that came to Solomon from the kings that constantly visited him, and the wealth of his kingdom and the splendor of it. I do not believe it is important that I go over this word for word. There are a few things that I would like to comment upon. But one of these was that he made a throne, and a magnificent throne, and there was no throne like it in any kingdom. This was done to impress the people, to give him great majesty, and it probably did give him great majesty in the sight of the people. But what would it have been if it had been stripped all of these things? He would still have been a king under God. I often see on the news of those who put on very tall hats, a peculiar shape, embroidered garments, and so on. You just wonder what they would look like in the shower. Would they have anything if they took these things off? Well, Solomon was a king under God, but he added to this splendor himself. And in the 21st verse, there's something I'd like to comment on. We often ask about this. King's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Every 3 years, once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. People said, well, what would they want with apes? And they began to imagine things. Well, they had zoos just like we have zoos. These were a cultured people, and they sought knowledge of other animals. And oftentimes, if we want to see certain animals, the only place that we can see them and learn about them and study their habits is in these zoos. Out here on the West Coast, we're somewhat famous for quality and character of some of the zoos, especially the one in San Diego. And so they had zoos, and these animals were brought in. They were taken care of in cages, just as in a zoo today, and people could learn about them and see these animals that they never would have seen otherwise. So don't think it's strange it mentions their apes and peacocks. They didn't eat these or anything like that. But peacock certainly gave great splendor to their kingdom. And in verse 22, one thing I would like to mention is that King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. All the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. It was almost a preview of what will be like in the kingdom of God as the kings of the earth come up to Jerusalem to get the knowledge of the Lord, which will be dispensed from that place. But every man brought his present. He brought vessels of silver and gold, and raiment, harnesses, spices, horses, mules, a rate year by year. And then it tells of Solomon's wealth and how he reigned. Verse 26, he reigned over all the kings from the river, even on the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And this is the greatest extent of Israel's kingdom. It began to get smaller under other kings as they lost battles, but this was its greatest extent. It was pushed a long way in the days of David. But nevertheless, Solomon reigned We're told here over all the kings from the river even on the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver in Jerusalem of stones. Stones were just not worth very much in Jerusalem, and neither was silver because there was so much gold. And then we're told in verse 29 that the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are all written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So it's evident that Rehoboam had some warnings concerning Jeroboam before he ever became king. Well, we read that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. His father David had reigned before him, but his father David had to give most of his time to fighting battles and so on. But here Solomon really governed, and he governed in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. To reign is to govern. And we're told that Solomon slept with his fathers. It was the sleep of death. That's where his ancestors were. And he slept with his fathers and was buried. He was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, one of the most important names in the history of the Old Testament comes in right here. That is the name Rehoboam. R-E-H-O-B-O-A-M. This is important because the kingdom is split under Rehoboam. So you notice it goes, the kingdom goes from David to Solomon and from Solomon to Rehoboam. And although Solomon was the wealthiest of all the kings of the earth, came his time to die and he died. Been appointed on the men once to die, and all the wealth of Solomon could not keep him from dying. You know, throughout my entire lifetime, I have come upon people who think that they have overcome this fact, and they've got the secret, and that they're not going to die. Well, could be if God assumes sovereignty, if God takes over, but you don't have any secret either in what you eat, or the medicine you take, or what kind of healing practices you follow. It's appointed unto men once to die, and they're dead. And the next thing they'll know after death is when God makes his judgment to determine if they're to be raised from the dead to enter the kingdom or to remain in the state of death until even the 1,000 years are finished. The next thing that men will know after this is that the judgment of God has taken place. Now we come to the place where the kingdom splits. All the way through it has been called Israel, and Judah has been referred to as just a province, but from here on in, the 10-tribe northern kingdom, we'll see about the split later on, what we commonly call, not fully accurate, but the 10-tribe northern kingdom will be called Israel, and the 2-tribe southern kingdom will be called Judah. I find it best to keep these straight often by referring to them as Ephraim Israel and Judah Israel. That makes it clear to us that are seeking to get understanding of this. But keep this name Rehoboam in mind, because you're apt to get it mixed up with Jeroboam. A little later on, we come to the 12th verse, you'll find this new name, and we must keep these straight because we're going to base a lot of truth upon these two names. Rehoboam went to Shechem. He was the son of Solomon. For to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, now there it is, the son of Nebat, he wasn't even in the kingly line, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, he heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Solomon made our burdens very heavy. He taxed us, he burdened us. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days, and the people departed. Now King Rehoboam, for he is now king, took counsel with the old men that stood before Solomon his father, while Solomon yet lived, saying, What counsel do you give me, so that I can return answer to this people? And they spake to him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him. You know, many times when people ask counsel, they just want you to confirm what they plan to do. And it looks like here that when Rehoboam asked counsel of the old men who had advised and counseled Solomon, he wanted them to confirm what he planned to do. So he heard it, he just forsook the counsel which the old men gave him. He took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, and that stood before him. So when he sought counsel of them, he said unto them, What advice give ye that be ready to answer this people, which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. The young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now that was really no way to say it. Even if it was to be that way, he shouldn't be that blunt. He should explain the necessity for this taxation, the heavy burdens of service, and so on. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips. I'll chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king bade, saying, Come again to me on the third day. Well, the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men. He answered them after the advice of the young man, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance, no portion in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to your own house. And all Israel went to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Now this little verse here doesn't seem to say much, but it is of the utmost importance. The children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah. Now, these 10 tribes were somewhat like 10 states. There was a federal government, but each tribe had its king and its ruler, the rulers of the tribes. And here we read that the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Well, now we know quite well that he reigned over the people of Judah, but these were the children of Israel that lived in the cities of Judah. And you see, where you have a number of mixed people like this, and these were only mixed up as to tribes, But this time they all spake the same language. They had a common language. But now the kingdom is splitting. And 10 tribes are going to establish a new kingdom and a new kingdom in the, under a new king in the north. And the 2 tribes will remain in Judah. The largest and the strongest tribe of the north was Ephraim. It's often called Ephraim. The largest and the strongest tribe of the south was Judah, and that kingdom is called Judah. Now, right here you see that people of these other 10 tribes that lived in the land of Judah, and that was to be expected. They didn't stick right to the boundaries of their own land. They might have great trouble owning property. But oftentimes, for economic reasons and for advantages, if advantages it might be, they would migrate and live in the lands of Judah. So in the land that belonged to Judah, where the temple was located and the government was centered, all military service centered there, you would find men who would make their homes there. Now the kingdom is split. And no doubt about it, quite a few will go with what we say with the north. And some will just simply say, no, we live here and we're going to be a part of the south. So when you get worried about the tribes that were lost, notice here this first thing that we're told is that the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Do you remember your history about Robert E. Lee, that he was a graduate of West Point and was serving in the United States Army when the rebellion came and the split between the North and the South became a reality, and Robert E. Lee resigned from the Army and went to the South, became first the General of the Armies of Virginia. And, of course, was the general of the armies all the way through the Civil War. Now, that's the way these things often happen. So there were many of the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, because really everything is centered there. When you've got the temple and the government and the army all centered in one place, and you're going to find out that these people from way up the Dan, that they're going to come south to live there and to work there because this is their work. So keep that verse very firmly in mind. You might be interested in knowing that I think it's so important that I had this underscored in red in my Bible. In verse 18, we read that then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Rehoboam sent up north to collect taxes, and when the tax gatherers got up there, they stoned him with stones, and he died. So King Rehoboam made speed to get him to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Rehoboam got to Jerusalem, and Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day, the day on which this was written. And Israel was in rebellion against the house of David that reigned in Jerusalem and maintained the kingdom. Now when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered of the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against Israel, that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, say, because these men of Israel were in Judah and they were in Benjamin. Pardon me. Thus saith the Lord. Ye shall not go up, You're fighting against your brethren. Don't go up. Don't fight against them. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. Jeroboam would have been a very weak army at that time and a very weak kingdom, because most of those who were military men certainly remained in the south in the cities of Judah. And so he began to fortify his kingdom, and we're told, beginning with the fifth verse, about the cities that he erected defenses. And Rehoboam began to fortify his cities. In the 11th verse, he fortified the strongholds, put captains in them, and stores of food and oil and wine. Every several city he put shields and spears, made them exceeding strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. Now notice this. This is of importance too, that the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. This is to Rehoboam. Now, for the Levites left their suburbs. They were prone to live where the living was good. And they left their suburbs and their possession, things that belonged to them. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office under the Lord. They said, no, you can't serve as priests. We're going to have a different religion. He was going to make up one. And so they came south. And so you see here that these priests and all of these Levites, practically the entire tribe of Levi, that they moved down to Judah and to Jerusalem. So he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils, that is, the hairy ones, the satyrs, and for the calves which he had made. These were probably images, because sometimes the more terrible that an idol looks, the more people are apt to worship him. And after them, now notice this, out of all the tribes of Israel, notice, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, they came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. And thus they strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and of Solomon. Now this is the result. So when you think of this company that reigned in the land of Judah as being just two tribes, and you try to make a sharp line of demarcation and to say that there was no one down there of the tribe of Ephraim, there was no one there of the tribe of Gad. No, sir. There were people who didn't want anything to do with this idolatry. They wanted no part of this worship of the calves. They want none of these priests that Jeroboam had ordained to be priests for the high places that he was building. And many people were so shocked by this when he established this idolatry. They were so completely shocked that they just took out and they set to seek the Lord their God of Israel. Their hearts had been set for this, and so they came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. And by this constant coming in of these people who just couldn't take this idolatry, well, as fast as they could, and it took a long time for them all to get out, they strengthened the king of Judah. So now we see right away that all of the 12 tribes are represented by God-fearing people in the land of Judah. It has greatly increased. And up in the north, all you have there is a man-ordained priesthood, Man built idols that can't speak, and that's what Jeroboam gives to the people. Now keep that very firmly in mind, because when anyone talks to you about the 10 lost tribes and so on, however, every one of these in the north was a child of Abraham. Every one of these was the seed of Abraham. They were of Israel. Even they have the name of Israel. Now, this is what happened. So when we get to the 12th chapter, we read that it came to pass when Rehoboam had established his kingdom, his government, had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. These 10 northern tribes with him. They forsook the Lord. But the Lord didn't cut them off. Oh, the time will come when they will be, lo am I, not my people, but with a promise at the time that the Lord speaks these words. And we'll deal with that when we come to it in the so-called minor prophets. But remember now that under God, all the 12 tribes are completely and well represented by God-seekers and God-fearers. They are well represented in the southern kingdom. So there's the temple there. The real Aaronic priesthood is there. All the Levites have gone down there. And that's what we have, and that is one thing that most people do not know, and if they know it, they will not recognize it. Now, we still have the northern kingdom. I mean, at this time, we still have the northern kingdom. But the real sovereignty of God, the real rule of God, the king after David's line, Rehoboam, all remains. And now, under Jeroboam, all the 10 northern tribes, they forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with them, because shall we say that the God-fearing people, the real fundamentalists in Israel, they've abandoned this and they've come down to the south, and the Lord will look after them. But God will not forget the seed of Abraham in the north. He'll deal with them, he'll punish them, and we will know that about 100 years later they will go into what we commonly call the Assyrian captivity. But the 12 tribes are really represented in these down toward the south. And someday they'll all find themselves together in the land of their captivity. Now, here we have an invasion against Israel by one named Shishak. S-H-I-S-H-A-K, Shishak. It was in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. This is the second verse of the 12th chapter. But this king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. And so God's using another army to punish them. They had 1,200 chariots, 70,000 horsemen, the people of about number that came with him out of Egypt. The Lubans, the Sakims, the Ethiopians. And he, this king, took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah. He even came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet to Rehoboam, and to the princes of Judah which were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, You have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. That's why I did it. I just left you there. I could have delivered you. I could have rescued you. But I just let it take its course. You're in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. Good. And they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves. Therefore I will not destroy them, but will grant them some deliverance. There will be some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem at the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, and that was slaves. that they may know my service and the service of the kingdom of the countries, the government of the countries. And Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. When you think of all the treasures that were there, things that were valued for their intrinsic value, not just because they were gold and silver, but because of what they meant. He took all these treasures, and he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself against the wrath of the Lord, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, and he would not destroy them altogether. And also in Judah things went well. They're going well now in Judah. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem, and he reigned, he governed. Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there was wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. These were border conflicts. Mostly, there was no invasion, but they were border conflicts. There were just wars between Jeroboam and Rehoboam continually. Jeroboam, the king of Judah, pardon me, Jeroboam the king of Israel, Rehoboam the king of Judah. So Rehoboam slept with his fathers. Death came to him as it does to all men. He was buried in the city of David. And Abijah, his son, raised in his stead. We who speak English were so inclined to pronounce this Abijah. However you want to pronounce it, that's the way it'll have to be. Abijah is the way I like to pronounce it. Now we're in the 18th year of King Jeroboam. Now Abijah began to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Mishaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war now between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. So the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, Abijah, stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave me the kingdom over Israel? Pardon me, Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever in perpetuity, even and to him and his sons by a covenant of salt. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto you, unto him, vain men, the children of Belial. They strengthen themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, in the hand of the sons of David. And ye be a great multitude, and ye brought with thee your golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, the Levites, and made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, that same may be a priest of them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, they wait on their business. Oh, he's reviewing. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. And there were people out of all the 12 tribes that were involved in this, and they were doing this. Yeah, even the priests themselves were doing this. Every one of the tribe of Levi was involved in this. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain. And his priest was sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel. Fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come from about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before him. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priest sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel, because Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah. This is the armies of Jeroboam, and God delivered them into their hand. Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So they fell down, slain of Israel, 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. You see, where God's with. He's with the southern kingdom. And don't say with the two tribes. All the 12 tribes are well represented down there. There's more proof of this in other places. We'll bring forth more as we go further into the studies. And Abijah preserved after Jeroboam and took cities from him. Bethel with the towns thereof, and Dishonah with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah. So the Lord struck him, and he died. He died of disappointment, but he died of being struck by the Lord. And he died. Abijah waxed mighty. He married 14 wives, and begat 20 and 2 sons and 16 daughters. The rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. People say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had all of these books? Would be indeed, but you couldn't carry them about. It would be too big a load. And God gave us just what we need to know and need to have. And we've got that which we need. The trouble is, we just do not make use of it. We're always wanting more. Always people wanting to tell us that the message is in the pyramids. Or they want to tell us that the message is in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Those things may be of some value, but try to tell me that in order to be ready for the service of God, I've got to go to Egypt and wander around through those dusty pyramids, which are nothing more than burial places. No, can't tell it to me. So I'm glad we have the Bible that we have, not with all the rest of it, those will come forth in time, and they can be referred to in the great libraries that will be in the kingdom of God. So Abijah slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. Now Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of Jehovah his God, Yahweh his Elohim. Notice what he did. He took away the altars of the strange gods. For some in Israel got involved in this. And the high places. He broke down the images and he cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. He took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places. The images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls, and towers, and gates, and bowers, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built, and they prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears. What they called targets, we would call shields. Targets and spears. Out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All of these were mighty men of valor. Well, there is a place there for us to make a break. And we will make the break at this point. Again, it has been my joy to lead you through these verses. I think you've come to a better understanding of things that happened and the things that took place. Now you're going to have to look at this southern kingdom in a new way, as not just being the tribe of Judah, the tribe of little Benjamin, but you're going to have to see it as being a people made up of people out of all the tribes, the best people, the God-fearing people that sought the Lord out of all the tribes of Israel. That's what we have now in the southern kingdom. But the northern exists there as the descendants of Abraham, and therefore a part of the people of God, although separated from. But it has been my joy to teach you, and I bid you good day. Just remember that God said, blessed are they that hear the words of the Lord and keep them. The word of God and keep it. And so I bid you goodbye. Yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.